Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What a wonderful day, July 3rd, 2024, and I'm here with my friends, Paul Zeiss, City Limits, and IT, intern Trent, a man of very few words but high character. City Limits is in a hot dog eating contest today. Paul and I are going to play lots of golf the rest of the summer.
The morning show guys were giving us a hard time.
For what?
You, because...
Who are the morning show guys?
I mean, whoever
week?
Was on today, Donnie and...
Donnie Football?
And Callis.
And Harry Callis.
And
Doug Whaley.
We giving him a hard time because he said he can only eat 3 hot dogs.
Yeah, that's not going to get you a win, not even a place show.
What I said is, I know I can eat 3 hot dogs.
How many
not
are you
like
shooting
my
for?
Complete limit. I'm putting no limits on the hot dog eating contest.
I like that, City
one.
Limits.
But,
and what else, Paul?
But they were getting on me because I picked...
Two guys who aren't in it.
Well, you gave me the list.
I thought that they were in it.
That's
I wasn't told until...
He gave me the list and told me who to pick from.
Until Dom texted me a correction that Charlie Borges and Joel Nelson are not competing today. I thought they were. By all accounts, last week they were. Late dropouts.
Why no Nelly?
Party.
Well, both of them are Nelly. Why no Charles Borges or Jolie?
I don't know. I asked Charlie Borges, and I can't remember what he told me, and I have not reached out to Joel. I'm taking Dom for his word.
Who's the favorite in this thing?
It's got to be Callis or Donnie.
How many guys are in it?
It's Callis, Donnie, myself, Sean Myers, and I think Seth Davis.
Who's
not
that?
To be confused with Reese Davis.
Who's Seth Davis?
He's a promo guy.
Oh, Cornelius?
Yeah, with the glass. I don't know. You call everybody different names.
Skinny?
What about T-Bird?
Yeah, that's Cornelius.
T-Bird might be
Cornelius, the little skinny guy?
Yeah.
Cornelius.
Oh, he's an underrated. He might be an underdog to win this thing. That guy. Paul, he has a pool of anger down there that's deep. He starts
Seth.
Eating. Yeah, little Seth.
There's some anger there.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have known.
Well, you wouldn't because he's always happy, but that only indicates that he's also angry. I think he may win this thing, IT. He might win it.
Well,
what
I mean,
if IT jumps in?
What's
the
over-under on the winning number of hot dogs?
I think somebody said it at Callis for 12.5 or 13.5.
No way.
Yes.
And
he's not
many,
getting
how
that.
How much time does he get?
10 minutes.
There's no chance.
Now, can you just inhale the thing?
If you want, but it's not like it's going to be like it's not going to be like the hot dog contest that you see on ESPN.
What are the differences?
Because there they soak the buns.
Yeah, and water.
So they can just basically
disgusting.
So they can just slide it down their throats. They don't even really eat it.
That's not happening today. And
right.
If it does,
today it sounds like
I commend you for whoever does it because it won't be me.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
why are you in it to win it? You shooting for six and a half hot dogs?
If I can tell that other people are struggling and I have a real shot at it, I'm going for it.
See, Paul, that's a big key. Is it one round, one shot?
One round.
Only? All right. And what's the placement? Where are you placed in this thing? That's the whole key to it.
In terms placement, in terms of what?
In terms of where you go, or you're all doing it at the same time.
Same time, yeah.
Oh,
so I'll know how other people are doing.
You'll
it.
Get a sense of
so
it. Yeah,
if
I'd
I'm
line up
like,
next to Harry.
I'm just saying,
if I'm at like 3 and Callis
like
is at 7.
Yeah.
Then or Donnie. Then
it sounds like they're going to be the hot dogs are going to be cooked out back or something.
Yeah.
Who's cooking
cooked,
them?
They're going to be grilled.
Some hot dog
and
company.
Brought
so,
in.
So at the end of the day, you have to eat. basically like hot dogs normally, like you would eat them. This isn't like the contests where they soak the buns and they're soaking wet and they just slide them down their throat, which is how they're able to do it. That so if that's the case where you actually have to chew it a little bit and eat it in a traditional way,
yeah,
nobody's getting 13.
No.
In 10
do you
minutes,
have to eat a bun?
You have to eat the bun too.
Nobody's getting 13, not no, even
you
Harry.
Have to eat the bun too. Hey, right?
Hey Rivers. Attention in here, yeah, please. Yeah. Who about, are you about, talking to? We're in the middle of a show.
I'm talking to Jack Kilgrove. He's here for orientation today.
I'll tell him hello and pay attention to the show, for God's sake.
What is he doing orientation for?
What's he doing orient? Oh, my God. This thing's gone off the rails early.
He's here
Paul.
To check things out.
Do you have to?
He's here to officiate the hot dog eating contest.
You have to eat them one at a time with a bun?
Yes, one at a time with a bun. I'm sure you could eat them two at a time, but I don't know if anybody's going to do that.
That might be an excellent strategy. A double-decker bun and hot dog. You get two and one, two for one. Paul, I'd be doing that. How big are the hot dogs?
You have to eat the bun, right?
Yeah, you have to eat the bun. Pony tweeted out a picture of the hot dogs. They look normal size, maybe a little bit larger than a normal hot dog.
I would stick the hot dog. What if you eat two hot dogs and one bun? No count? That's not two?
No, that's not
two. Is it one and a half?
What would be hilarious if Pony's tricking us all and he buys foot-long hot dogs?
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Very proud of you, City Limits, just for entering the contest. Are you, Paul?
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. I don't think I could do it.
Does Harry eat 11 of them? Over, under 10 and a half
maybe
for Harry?
Maybe 11.
Has Harry mentioned how many, does he have a record just from a, you know, a picnic, family picnic or something?
Well, how about Malzy gave him four hot dogs the other day when Malzy was doing the morning show.
What, is it practice? Did Malzy have a whistle
and
on?
Malzy
he was running Harry
him.
Through drills?
Malzy timed him and thinks that the race is wide open, according to
so
Pony
he
and
under, he underperformed in practice. Maybe he's a game
possibly.
Day player. Could be a game day player.
I'm just saying,
Paul.
11, 12, 13 in 10 minutes. Eating them the traditional way, that's a lot.
So my strategy is just to not eat any of the pizza today, thanks to Slice on Broadway. Maybe one slice.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't. No, don't. What?
No slices
don't do that.
At all?
No,
well,
no slices.
Well, Mueller tried to tell me to eat some food beforehand.
Yeah, because
and I was
he's
like,
sabotaging you. He wants Harry
that.
To win.
Right. So I'm just not going
to
eat anything
no,
and then just
Donnie
eat on an empty stomach.
Yeah, Donnie, that's what I meant.
You shouldn't do it on an empty stomach, though, I don't think.
So then I should eat something.
No, you might be right
so then
about
I should,
that.
Should eat one piece.
You know what?
Eat.
Coat your stomach with olive oil. That's what I did one year
you
before
know what
drinking
you should do?
On St. Patrick's.
How did it work out for
eat
you?
One of those,
poorly.
Okay.
I wound up naked.
Eat one of those garlic knots.
Okay.
That'll get something in your stomach so that you won't be completely... You have to have a little bit of something in your stomach.
Well, again, my over-under is set at 2.5. And I feel like if I can't hit 2.5, if I can't eat 3, significant disappointment in my mind.
I get the feeling that IT, from the look he just shot me, wants me to go back to how I wound up naked after doing a shot of
olive
oil.
I mean, I'm also curious.
St. Patrick's Day. IT, am I right about that? He says yes.
Man of few words says sure.
None in this case, just a head nod.
Sure.
No, I'm not going to go into that story.
How was the...
What? Paul?
What's the most food you've ever eaten in a mass food eating competition or just...
Well, I've never been in a competition. I got a tiny and very sensitive stomach. I told you, there's at least once or twice a month where I left to leave this show to go have more blowouts than the 07 Patriots, right? So I'm in, you know, like 6 pieces of pizza maybe, something like that. I'm not a prolific...
Young? See, the reason I have the same problems you have with stomachs, and part of it is because I used to have those kinds of eating feats like these guys.
Mine were more drinking feats, I would say. Like the unnatural act of drinking, trying to drink a case of beer, something like that. Like nobody would... It dawned on me at one point that nobody would sit down and try and succeed in drinking 14 glasses of milk. Or 14 bottles of Diet Coke, you'd be sick, right? If you did that?
Yeah.
So why, how is beer different?
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It is true. I'm not sure. That's a very good point.
Isn't it a good
if you
point?
You sat and drank 14 Cokes, you'd be really sick.
Right.
But if you drink 14 beers, you're just a little bit tipsy. Depending on what, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, so tell me, how was your day at
Laurel?
At Laurel Valley Golf Club.
Wonderful. I met a guy named Ed Garofalo, one of the three nicest men on earth that I've ever met, right up there with Jerry DePaula and Marc-Andre Fleury. And then there was a guy named Doug and a guy named Lauren, kind of like Lauren Brisbois.
Mm-hmm.
Brisbois. Remember that defenseman?
Well, that was good. And how did you do? Did you feel like you ate it?
I did pretty bad. We're supposed to get my caddy. We had caddies out there. I'm going to give you a number for a guy named Kyle. Legendary figure. He saw me at my best and worst, Paul. And you know what it's like when I'm at my worst. I almost threw all my clubs in the lake, but I didn't at one point.
That's an upset.
Yeah, I tried not to be outwardly angry because it's such a nice course. So instead, I sulked and went back to the cart and sulked at various times, which everybody got a kick out of. But it was fun. I think I shot an even 100. I couldn't approach. My drives were great. My approaches were horrible. And my putting was not very good. But I took solace in parring three holes. I parred three holes at Laurel. That's not bad, is it?
It's not bad at all. I did better. I played yesterday at Bird's Foot. You know, we actually got some going low content out there, you know, for our going low show.
How'd you do?
My putting is so embarrassingly bad.
So is mine.
The course is in great shape. That course is unbelievable. Really, it's one of those courses that's up 28 there, way up there, so you kind of forget about it. You know? But it's a great course. But my putting was such an embarrassment. I feel like I'm going to get to the green from now on and have someone else putt.
Pay them. Yeah.
Just pay one, whoever else is playing with me, just say, listen, why don't you putt for me? I mean, I can't tell you the number of holes. I told you on Saturday, I hit the ball better than I've hit it for 3 years, you know, when I played with my buddies on Saturday. So I wanted to see, okay, is it still translating? And yesterday I hit the ball. I didn't hit it as well as I did Saturday, but I hit it really well. But I can't tell you the number of times I was on the fringe or right above the, you know, right in front of the green and two.
Yeah.
And took a five or a six. Just embarrassing.
I think I set a record the other day. Where was it? Old Stonewall. It must be their record for four putts in a single day. I'm somewhere, there's a plaque of me somewhere up at Shakespeare's or whatever the name of that place is there. There he is, the record for four putts in a single day.
I mean, I hit the green on one of the par threes and took a five.
I know the feeling. Yeah. I do know how bad that is because I just did it.
So I think I shot like 93.
Yeah.
I really hit the ball like I should have shot like an 85. But that's how bad I was putting.
Putting's part of the game. Paul, we have a pirate mystery. We open today with a pirate mystery.
Oh, boy.
What is happening here? Noah Hyles and others report last night accurately that the Pirates are expected to recall Joshua Palacios from AAA Indy prior to today's game against the Cardinals. However, writes Hyles, the Pirates' plan was put on pause after a series of factors Tuesday night. The team was prepared to make a move, but reversed course. So, what is happening here? To me, it sure looks like Jack Sawinski having one good game has caused this promotion to be put on hold. And if I know Ben Jerrington and the moves that he makes and the mindset he's brought to this job, Jack Sawinski probably just bought himself a month because he had one good game.
Right.
Is this guy, Jerrington, going to sit here and watch this, not help the team get to the point at the deadline where they are contending, and then say, well, what am I supposed to do? They didn't show me they did enough. I believe you wrote about this, Paul. And that's my fear right now. So now we're going to wait on Sawinski because he had a good game? Is that the idea? Then send somebody else down.
And if that's the case,
then trade somebody else. Get rid of somebody else. DFA somebody else. I don't care what you do. What are we doing here with the Pirates. What are we doing?
Well, that's the whole point. If that's the case, it's absurd. If that's the case, and again, we don't know that to be the case, but it sounds like, I mean, it seems surely like that, you know. And what was the way it was reported? Well, certain circumstances changed.
Now, if it's a trade for a real player, then I'll abruptly change course with my opinion.
Do you think that's the case?
No.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem of it all. Because to me, if you really look at it from afar, I mean, it's such a horrible, horrible optics or whatever we call it, optics, right? It really is. Terrible.
Jack Sawinski is still batting like 183. I look at the lineup last night. This is just on repeat here. I'm sick of talking about it, but we have to keep talking about it because it feels like, you know, it almost feels like they don't want us to talk about it. You know what I mean? They don't want people to talk about it. All they want is patience and internal improvements. And what's the other one that I'm getting real sick of? There's another Pirate saying that I'm tired of, but I can't remember. Last night's box score. All right, you have O'Neill Cruz batting third. He shouldn't be batting third in any major league lineup right now. Connor Joe's your cleanup hitter. This guy has been cast as you know, Mickey Mantle in this lineup all year. You know, he got off to a good start. Great. He's still he's Connor Joe.
Right.
Then we have Olivares pinch hitting for Tellez and getting two at-bats. He's horrible. His last extra base hit was a month and a half ago. And then the bottom of the order is just tragic. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Sawinski had a good game. Great. And Grandal, who is so, so bad at the plate. He's down to 174. He makes what's-his-name look like Johnny Bench. Who's the guy they had in last year they had to get rid of because he couldn't hit?
Austin Hedges.
Yeah, him. Austin Hedges. Man, I'm tired of watching this. And there was something particularly annoying about seeing the Cardinals come in here, having come off just one bad season.
Right.
And now they're going to make the playoffs again, I bet. They have that look about them. They have that Cardinal look about them. And Ben Cherington just sits there and does nothing. Now, he doesn't even call anybody up because Sawinski had a good game. Is that the reason here? Thoughts? Right. Your thoughts?
I mean, I look at it as the same way as you. I was talking about this yesterday, and it gets a little old for me. It seems like, and I said this to you on Monday, they're trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
It seems to me like they are.
He's in the four corners.
Okay with the idea that, well, if we just kind of hang around and we're in the same position at the trade deadline, we'll be able to make the case to our fans, well, we don't think this is the year to do it. We don't think this is the year to do it. You know what I mean? And as a result, and I was really, you would have been really depressed, Joe. You'd have been really depressed yesterday when Destiny's Child was on with us.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how
I was just going to mention that. I was listening.
He expects Aroldis Chapman to maybe be traded.
Right.
Perez to be maybe traded. Gonzalez to maybe be traded.
Yeah.
That would be so depressing.
I think that Destiny's...
And he's like, and he put a spin on it, like, well, you know, it would be like sort of selling off some assets, getting more assets in so that you can make a run next year.
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that?
Nobody. Although I think that Destiny's Child, who's rapidly becoming a legend, can we get that to play low in the background? There we go.
Say my name, say my name.
Keep this while we talk about Destiny. Your introduction yesterday was tremendous to Destiny's Child. He's really good because I think he actually does reflect what the Pirates are thinking. But then when he delivered his opinion, Destiny's Child, I just completely disagree when he says this is not the year because who knows if they'll even get in. They don't have a good enough lineup. No, here's the situation. Once you get to the playoffs, if you get there, and granted, it's a big if, but if you get there, you have a chance to win series. It's a different sport in the playoffs. It's all about pitching. It's all about how do I win a short series? I don't have to worry about this other crap about, you know, saving my bullpen and all this BS.
Right.
It's about putting Skeens, Jones, and Keller out there and winning series. And they have a chance this year right now. And more to the point, for the 8 billionth time, if you're not in a position where you can dip into your prospect pool for even one really good prospect to bring back a hitter, even a rental hitter, years of control. That's the other phrase I'm tired of. I just thought of it. Well, you have to get years of control. No, you don't. You got to get a good hitter. And if you're not in position where you can jettison one really good prospect to help your cause this season, then you've done a horrible job of building up your farm system over 5 years of tanking.
Well, and that's the whole point, too. With all the parameters that they have, how in the world are they ever going to be able to make a trade?
Exactly.
We need years of control, but we also need lower salaries. Plus, we also need the person to be, younger, and we also need the person to have a certain F war or something like that. And you know what I'm saying?
It's and we might not make it, so you know,
we can't
it's a little
trade
too
our own,
risky
you know,
here.
We don't want to trade our own guys because they might become really good.
The franchise will survive if you trade Brandon Ashcraft. Is that his name?
Braxton.
Same thing. Is that his brother who pitches
Mitch
in
Jeb.
The majors?
No, they're not related.
Mitch Jeb. That's right. Or even
Sotomayor or whatever his name is.
Solomato. You take one guy. None of them are clinches to make it, by the way. And you parlay him into a hitter for the rest of this season and take a run at it. Guess what? You still have Skeens, Keller, and Jones for several years. All 20-somethings. Keller is still a 20-something. As the backbone of your rotation, you have Bubba Chandler, if you don't move him, coming in next year. And then you backfill with whoever, the next Bailey Falter or Bailey Falter himself. Come on. What are we doing here? They need not to be in the business of hoarding prospects anymore. They should have enough where you barely notice if one leaves.
Well, that's the thing they're going to do, though.
I know.
I'm starting to believe that
Destiny's Child is
right. I'm starting to believe that he's probably onto something.
Destiny's Child is a prophet. I think
it was funny when I asked. I asked Shelton. I said, "Well, if you Destiny's Child's got it all figured out for you."
What did he say?
He started laughing. He said, "Well, I'm glad to hear that. I have to talk to him later to find out, you know, all the answers to the questions we have."
I mean, he might be right, and you know what? In the end, if your bullpen is healthy. And you trade, let's say, Aroldis Chapman. I don't think that's the end of the world either.
Right.
That's fine. Because if it's designed, as Destiny's Child told you yesterday, to make a bigger deal in the offseason. You know, it's never a bad thing to accumulate prospects with an eye toward making your team better. The Padres got rid of Josh. I'm sorry. God bless me. The Brewers got rid of Josh Hader a couple of years ago. And everybody was up in arms in Milwaukee, but one of the prospects they got back was parlayed into Contreras, who's a great player, an all-star. That's how you do business here.
Right.
In a market like Milwaukee, which is virtually the exact same as Pittsburgh. So If you have Bednar back and healthy, Holderman pitching great, Majinski, Borecki, Nicklaus has had moments, guys like that. You put Perez or Gonzalez back in the bullpen and you want to trade Chapman? Okay, I get it. Your hopes aren't down the drain because of that. But the idea...
Yeah, but don't you think it would be a really, really, really bad look to trade him?
Not necessarily, because I still think your bullpen could be just as good. And he's been a little mercurial himself. Who's to say he's not headed for another either injury or another period of blow-ups? You know what I mean, Paul?
Well, true.
I don't know. I'm just saying that one in and of itself wouldn't crush me. As long as you're bringing in another deal, maybe, somebody who can bolster your lineup.
But I think the biggest thing is he would be like the biggest chip that you would trade. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to see what... Here's what I always say. I have to see what it looks like when it's all said and done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they don't get a couple of guys that are legitimate major league hitters at the trade deadline, then I will basically say that they basically punted on the season. But even if they trade a guy like Chapman or even a Perez, if they go out and get people that are, get a couple of guys back that are good hitters, well, you know, they can overcome those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, it's just this, we're going to talk to the Noah Constrictor next. What happened here? Palacios is on his way. Sawinski has one good game and that changes. Is that the reason, first of all? And secondly, is that a good reason? I mean, aren't you tired of this out there? And doesn't it especially hit home when the Cardinals come to town, rejuvenated, re-energized, those Cardinal colors walking in here and beating your ass in game one? And you just know you have that pit in your stomach like, oh my God, the Cardinals have sunk for 1 year and now they're rising up again ahead of the Pirates. Is that what's going to happen this season? Maybe it doesn't. But man, it's sure inching in that direction. And now if the Pirates lose today, they're 5 games below. The lowest they got was 6 games below. It feels like they're teetering here. It feels like they're teetering. And like you've said, it almost feels like they'll be okay if they teeter off to the point where they don't have to make a big move.
Right.
Or aren't pressured to make a big move.
Well, that was one of the things I wrote in my column the other day, Joe, where I said basically, unless the Pirates do what they did in 2018 before the Chris Archer trade. If you remember in 2018.
Yeah.
Right before the trade deadline, or there was like a 20 or 30 day span there where they went crazy and won a bunch of games and really forced Neil Huntington to make a deal. If they don't do that here, I don't think there's going to be, you know, much going on at the trade deadline.
I think what people here hate the most is the idea that you're not in the fight. You know, it begins with the payroll and then it gets down to things like just waiting around while this pop gun lineup gets destroyed all the time. I think people hate that more than anything.
Right.
And that's why when you get an ass kicker like an AJ Burnett or a Paul Skeens or even a Jared Jones walk into your clubhouse, it just lifts you. You know, it's like the kid that keeps getting beaten up and now he's got one of the football players on his side, you know, the strongest kid in the school.
Right.
You know, you get tired of that. And I think fans hate that more than anything. They hate just sitting there doing nothing while you're getting your rear ends kicked in. Like, you want to be part of the fight. And even if they go out and get a rental and the guy that they trade becomes a star and the rental flops, you know, I still go back to the Chris Archer trade. At least they did it. At least they tried. You know, it was horrible, but at least they tried.
Yeah.
And that failure shouldn't keep them from trying again.
But again, they're only going to do it if they feel like they're legitimately fully in the race. And if they don't...
And how do we define that? How should they define that?
I would say you're three games out, you're in the race.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? Like, but I guarantee you they're going to play all kinds of games. And here's the other thing that they're notorious for. The ask was too much. We couldn't give up, you know, an extra prospect to make it happen.
Very curious situation here with Palacios apparently going to be recalled and then suddenly not. And you can't help but say, all right, because Sawinski had a good. So what would be, all right, you want to see if Sawinski gets hot? How about any one of five other guys that you could get rid of and
right.
sort of reconfigure your team? I don't know. The whole. What about Olivares? What is the attraction there? Can somebody please fill me in on that, Paul?
I don't understand it at all. Not at all, actually.
Has he, his last extra base hit was June 26th, and he plays almost every day. He plays almost every day. He hasn't had as much as a double since June 26th, and they roll the guy out there in some form every single day. I don't blame you if you're a Pirates fan and you feel like you're going crazy. Like when you see the lineup, wait, is that happening again? Are they just going to sit there and do nothing? I don't blame you if you're feeling like you've gone nuts here. So get rid of him and bring up Palacios if that's the case.
Right.
Hopefully they're working on a big trade, and that's the reason why. Let's ask the Noah Constrictor. Noah Hiles coming up next from the Post-Gazette. We'll ask him. Also about the progress of Henry Davis. I'm curious what the plan is with Skeens moving forward as far as saving innings and things like that. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's off the top. Presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We're going to have not only Noah Hiles. Who else is on the show as we prepare for the hot dog eating contest later?
City Limits. We got the General at 10:55. We got Jonathan Bomboli at 11:05.
Talking about the Penguins plan, yes.
And help me, Dan, Mr. Zangrilli at 1 o'clock.
It's a banner show. That's JP Roofing. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Have you seen this Mason Rudolph lookalike at Wimbledon, Paul?
No, huh? Who is it?
I don't know. I don't know what his name is. I just looked up and he looks just like Mason Rudolph. I used to like make plans around watching Wimbledon 30 years ago when it was Connors and Borg right. and McEnroe and Lendl and Arthur Ashe before that and people like that. It felt like appointment viewing. And I'll tell you what ruined tennis for me was the technology where we reached the point where it's serve, end of point. You got guys serving 800 miles an hour. Yeah. I lost it. Maybe that and a combination of lesser personalities.
Well, there's that, but I mean, I think a big part of it for a long, long time, men's tennis in this country just was ravaged and fell way behind.
Yeah.
There was a point where, what was his name? John Isner? Was that his name?
I don't know. I had lost interest by that point.
Maybe it was Matt Isner, something Isner. And he was our highest rated player. You know, highest rated American player in the world tennis rankings, and
yeah.
he was like in the 30s. Like there was a point where we literally had like three guys in the top 50. Now it's gotten better from the it's John Isner, but it's gotten better from the standpoint of this. I'm looking at the rankings right now. We have three guys 12, 13, and 14, but still we have nobody in the top 10.
Alcaraz, whatever his name is. He looks like Mason Rudolph. Check this out.
I'm saying we have nobody in the top 10, but we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from 10 to 30.
And I couldn't name any of them.
So we are in better shape, believe it or not, now than we had been maybe 5, 8 years ago when men's tennis here was dead.
It felt like even when it was good and they had great players, they had no personalities, though, in recent decades.
But I think, like, who was our last great player? Pete Sampras?
Probably. I don't know. I can't talk tennis anymore.
And then for a while there, you got to remember, what was my man's name that just dominated? There was two of them.
Americans?
No, the two top tennis guys.
Oh, Federer and
Roger Federer and
the other guy.
The other guy.
What's his name? City Limits.
I have no idea.
Nadal.
And then
Rafael Nadal.
And who's the guy that the not vaccinated guy that
Novak Djokovic?
Novak Djokovic. So you had Djokovic?
Novak Djokovic. Are you kidding
me? That was his name.
He's the no vaccine guy, and his name is Novak.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, City Limits.
But you had him. Between him, Federer, and who's Nadal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be willing to bet that they, for the last 15, 18 years, probably have won just about every single major.
Probably.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.